Well, we're back, and we're joined by the one and only Mr. Johnny Jett. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to hear you back in the States. Are you doing some serious traveling there, my friend?
I'm trying.
I see by your site that you finally finished up the last of the Australia part of your trip. And why don't we start with that?
Sure. Did we talk about Australia at all?
Yes, we did a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get to the last part of it, Daintree to Orpheus Island, and that's Arctic kind of
tribulation.
Yeah, that's kind of where we left off. So we could pick up there if you like. First
sure.
of all, you might want to say we should say good day to everybody.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, good day, mate. Good on you. And
I love Australia.
I was with Qantas for some years, so I spent a little bit of time over there. So I really enjoyed it as well. First of all, what we really should probably do is do a little recap. You flew to Sydney.
I actually flew to Melbourne.
Yeah. Okay. You flew to Melbourne
from New Zealand this time.
Okay. So you went New Zealand to Australia to to Melbourne, and
then went out to Uluru, Ayers Rock.
Right.
It's called the Red Center.
Right.
And then from there, I flew 2 hours and 35 minutes to Cairns.
Now, how did you do that?
On Qantas, 737.
Okay. So
Qantas
covered most of those areas.
It's the only airline that you can fly to and from Ayers Rock, which is Uluru.
Okay.
None of the low-fare carriers fly in there. It's just Qantas. And they have five flights a day.
Okay, so other than going to your website, if somebody wants to make this trip, they can go to Qantas and they can look at the packages and then they can pick their destinations.
Yes, I would get a package deal.
Right, exactly. Well, then try to do it bit by bit, especially some of this. Now, so now you're going to fly over to
to Cairns.
Yeah.
Which it's spelled Cairns, but they
right.
pronounce it Cairns.
Right.
And then I drove up, I think it was like almost a three-hour drive to the Daintree.
Right.
Called Cape Tribulation, this one area.
Uh-huh.
It's actually the only place in the world where there's two World Heritage Sites, natural World Heritage Sites that meet. So it's Daintree Rainforest and the Great Barrier Reef.
Right, okay.
They meet right there. You can actually see.
Right, that's the same. Yeah. Okay.
And there's the only place in the world where two natural world heritage sites meet.
Right. So you drove there, and then you dropped off your rental car, and
we kept the rental car there.
Well, yeah, but you got out of it to get on the airplane.
Oh yeah. I'm talking about in Daintree.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Because we flew from. I'm talking about from Cairns. We drove up 3 hours to
right.
get the trip.
Exactly. Okay. And then from there you boarded an 8-passenger
seaplane. That was after I spent a few days in Cape Trib.
Right. Okay.
Did I talk about Cape Trib at all?
No. In fact,
last time we talked about maybe Uluru.
Yeah, I think that's it because I didn't see anything on that today when I went to your a newsletter.
Well, I mean, it's the oldest rainforest in the world. It's older than the Amazon.
Right.
Which really surprised me. It's over 135 million years old, and it's 750 square miles, but it only comprises 0.02 of Australia's landmass, because Australia is the same size as the U.S., continental U.S.
Right.
So, I mean, it's huge, and this place is just filled. I think it has has 85 of the world's 120 rarest species of plants, and it has like 430 different species of birds. And it has 60% of Australia's bat and butterfly species.
Right.
I didn't see any bats though this time.
That's amazing, huh? And you spent a couple of days there, is that it?
I did. I stayed at Voyages Coconut Beach Resort. And it's nice. It's like 3.5-star. They say it's 4.
Right.
But you can tell you're in the jungle. There's ants on the bed and then, in the bathroom, there's little bugs, which you can't really...
Right.
Unless you're at a 5-star place, you're going to have
right.
bugs.
So, well, a 4-star hotel, maybe with with a little cloud over one star makes it 3.5, right?
If you don't like bugs, you're not going to be a big fan. But I mean, you're out in the jungle. You're
well, exactly. You're in a rainforest. So
and I was taking a shower one night right before I went to bed to get all the sunscreen off, and I look up and there was the biggest spider I've ever seen.
Oh my!
It was a huntsman.
A what?
A huntsman spider is called.
Good Lord!
I later found out it's not poisonous or anything, but
right. It scares
like
the hell out of you.
It's hairy. It's as big as my hand.
Good Lord!
Like, seriously, I just darted out of the shower, left it running.
Well, you
pulled down. The guy came right away. We didn't kill it. We let it out. You know,
right.
They don't kill anything, which is great. I didn't want them to kill it. I was like, don't kill it.
Right.
I just don't want it to kill me.
Yeah, you sure don't want to take a shower with a hairy-looking thing, that's for
oh,
sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so from kind of walk us through it, because this is really an interesting part of the trip, I think, that you did here. You went over to Orpheus Island.
Well, I went to after I spent a couple days in Cape.
Right.
Well, I call it Cape Fear now after the spider.
Cape Fear.
You know, they were right by the Great Barrier Reef.
Right.
It's the shortest distance you can go. It's only a 40-minute boat ride
right.
out to like the closest really good reef, and it was calm as can be. And you know, I saw sharks, and we even swam towards the sharks this time.
Yeah, I saw that incidentally. I saw that. That was a great video. The video with the photos. It was really super. I had a little trouble with the sound, but as you say, sometimes when it first gets up there, that you get so many hits on it that. But the photos were fantastic, and I saw where you were walking in the water with the little sharks swimming.
That was Orpheus Island.
Yeah, that was an Orpheus, yeah.
See, but I'll just go jump right to Orpheus. Let's jump to Orpheus.
Okay.
So then from Cairns, we jumped on an 8-seater seaplane.
Right.
Now, did you used to fly seaplanes?
I've flown in them. I'm not seaplane rated, but I have some friends who are. Yeah, it's very strange because when we would fly from St. Thomas to one of the islands, it looks like, you know, they've got the nose in the down position. It looks like you're going to crash right into the water, and then they raise the nose up onto the pontoon. Very strange feeling, but great.
Yeah, I love them. I mean, I'm not a big fan of small planes, but I do like seaplanes. Especially
right.
when the weather's good.
These were on floats.
Yeah.
Right.
Same thing. And from Cairns, it's a 55-minute flight.
Right.
And it's expensive, though. Orpheus Island, to fly there, I mean, it costs 780 Australian, which is almost 600 U.S. round trip from Cairns.
Wow.
And
how long a flight is it?
55 minutes.
Whew. That's
they
a lot
can
of
also
money.
Fly from Townsville, and it's $341 round trip a flight. Which
right.
is not as bad, but that's only a 20-minute flight.
Right. But $341, it's a lot of money.
It is. I mean, I could fly cross-country.
You're absolutely right.
I might even go this weekend to New York for $238.
Really? On who?
Delta.
They got a special out there, huh?
It's a weekend special. I leave on Saturday, come back Monday or Tuesday.
That's a nice one. That'd get me out the opposite way. I guess it works as well, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and there's plenty leaving from Tampa, by the way, this weekend. I just looked anywhere
yeah.
you want to go.
Did you? Yeah, we'll have maybe we can chat about that towards the end. Okay, let's keep going because this is a great trip. You get to Orpheus Island.
Orpheus Island is 15 miles off the coast of Australia.
Right.
It's quiet. It's rustic. It's 7 miles long. It comprises of 3,000, almost 3,400 acres.
Right.
Square acres. And it is a national park. But there's one resort. And it's adults only. You have to be at least 15 or over. And there's 17 nice rooms and 4 suites. And it's expensive. But it's rustic. I mean, you know, there's not a spa there. There's not even a masseuse there, which I was surprised. But they have a great wait staff, and the food is amazing. They have really good food. I mean, 7-course dinners, and it's good. It's not just like... It's good. Everyone was amazed how good it was.
Yeah, I saw some of the photos. I couldn't tell which ones were from Orpheus Island or which ones were from other places. But as usual, you take these wonderful pictures of food, which always give me an incredible appetite. It was great. So,
and when you arrive, the general manager greets you, brings you in, you fill in the paperwork. There's colorful tropical fruit drinks waiting for you and refreshing towels with
right.
a little hint of mint. And So on the island, there's two swimming pools, tennis court, billiards table, workout room that no one ever uses, including me, a couple bars. And actually, in the bar, I met a Johnny Jett reader who was from Colorado. It was really cool.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did he run up and say, oh, you're Johnny Jett?
Actually, one of my buddies who's a writer, he was there, and he got talking to him, and the guy asked if he knew Johnny Jett, and he goes, Johnny Jett's on this trip. That was pretty funny.
That's great. And again, for those listening, you can go to johnnyjett.com and look at some of these photos as we chat, and you can still listen online. All right, so how much time did you spend on Orpheus? First of all, those pictures that are in your video and those shots, are they from Orpheus or are they from one of the other places?
This last video, they're all Orpheus except towards the end when we get back on the seaplane, then it turns into to Brisbane.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, but all the island, those are all, and all the food, all that stuff, that's all Orpheus.
All Orpheus, okay. So,
there's 16 staff members.
Right.
There's only 42 guests at the most.
Right.
When I was there, there was probably like 30 guests, 25.
Interesting.
It's pretty expensive. I mean, the rates are, let me see what the rates are. It's $541 per person a night.
Per person?
A night.
Yeah. What would the guests, were they mostly European? Were they
no.
Australian?
No, Australians don't like to spend that kind of money. They were mostly American.
Were they?
All American that I met were there.
You often wonder how people find, you know, except for, you know, people like you who put these up on a website, how they find out about some of these really remote, small, expensive hideaways, you know?
They're mostly Americans and Europeans there, and there's also, you know, the other places where I stayed at too, there were a few Australians who were on like a significant birthday or anniversary.
Right, and basically you've got all the basic swimming pools, they've got tennis court, billiards, and a workout room, which you always like.
Yeah, I mean, stuff. It's not like, it's really not that nice. It's just that you're on your own, like, deserted island.
And the beaches look beautiful. The water was so clear.
And if you like to snorkel or dive.
Right.
I mean, seriously, I took a walk on the beach. I see this little fin. I'm like, well, is that a shark? And I look close. And it's like, there was 10 baby sharks about a foot and a half long. And I'm like, holy cow. And then there were shovel nose brays and all kinds of fish. Colorful fish, and they're right there. I could have grabbed it.
Yeah,
I literally could have grabbed it.
I mean, I could see it in that video clip, and once again, those that are listening, it's worthwhile downloading this video clip. It's has some great shots, and you can see these little, you can see the small sharks, and the ones that are swimming around Johnny's feet are not sharks. They're those other big old things. What are they called? Like goldfish.
Oh, no, mullets. Those are mullets.
Is that what they were? Mullet? Yeah.
Yeah. They look like carp. I did try to grab those because I knew they wouldn't bite me.
Right.
Well, I didn't know, but I knew it wouldn't be as hard as a shark bite.
Now, you did have a tip from the gardener on how to keep these mosquitoes away.
Yeah, Jenny the gardener.
Jenny, that's right.
I mean, because there's snakes out there, and I would just sit there and talk to her all day. She was fascinating. But she'd just go right into the bushes. I wouldn't go near the bushes. There's all kinds of snakes and spiders, and this woman is so tough. And I was like, how about the mosquitoes and stuff? She's like, every day she takes a vitamin B pill, and she uses baby oil on her skin.
That's interesting, huh?
And she says it keeps it away.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Vitamin B.
So then from there, you went back to Brisbane.
We actually flew to 20 minutes to Townsville and jumped on a Qantas flight to Brisbane for an hour and a half.
Right, and you stayed at the Brisbane Marriott.
Yeah, I was with seven travel writers, and the next morning we all got out and we all said the same thing. We're going, how comfortable was that bed? It was the most comfortable bed out of the whole trip, and we stayed at really nice places.
Right.
And this Brisbane Marriott, by the way, was a five-star hotel. A lot of Marriott's internationally are, you know, top notch.
Right, and they had down pillows.
Yeah, and a duvet, and it was just, it's called the Revive Bed. All the Marriotts now have it, or they almost, oh, they're all going to get it.
And how long did, how long did you stay there?
Just one night, 16 hours. We were only there just because we're flying out the next morning to L.A.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't get back from Orpheus till the evening, so we just went down to the sky, to the boardwalk, had a nice dinner. And Brisbane's a great little city. I got up early, and I walked around. It was like San Diego.
You did the river walk.
Yeah, I did the river walk, and I walked through the botanical gardens, and there were so many people jogging. It was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It's a pretty city.
It is.
And then, I guess what, you flew back from, Brisbane to Los Angeles.
To L.A., nonstop. Qantas has a, they fly 747 two-class planes.
And they upgraded you to business class.
Yeah, there was no one in business. Except a really nice visually impaired kid who had his seeing eye dog, which I'd never seen a seeing eye dog on the plane. Either did the flight attendants.
Right.
And the dog was, for 12 hours, the dog just sat there. Didn't go to the bathroom, didn't bark, didn't do anything.
Amazing, isn't it? Now, tell us about this. Tell us about Qantas's new cocoon style seats.
The business class seats.
Yeah.
They're pretty nice.
They turn into a sky bed, right?
Yeah, they do. They turn into supposedly the longest bed in the industry, but they don't go flat. So there's a little bit of an angle. They're kind of like Singapore Airlines business class seats, and I couldn't sleep actually on them. But they're so they're comfortable to sit there and watch TV.
Right.
And they have 10-inch video screens with 12 new release movies and 6 TV shows, and you can play video games. And the food's really good, and the flight attendants.
Yeah. Now, a quick question: were the on the flight attendants? Were most of the flight attendants male?
Because
years ago, when I was with Qantas, they had all male flight attendants and one female who handled, you know, women with babies and other things, of course. But
really?
Mainly, they had
security?
Male flight attendants. Pardon?
Was that for security reasons or?
No. They just, I don't know why. They just, I guess they felt that in-flight was, the in-flight service was kind of like a waiter's job, and they had people on board that was mostly men and only one woman. Now, what kind of, I noticed in the photo there were two men and a gal.
Yeah.
What was the mix?
That was just for first class, those three.
Okay, but what about the mix on the airplane? Was it
equal? I would say
equal?
Half and half.
Right, okay. But, you know, there were days where you didn't see many male flight attendants in this country. Now, of course, you do. You see more and more. But Qantas prided itself on their male flight attendants. And
people feel safer with male flight attendants, I think. Just because there's any terrorism or anything like that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if there was a problem, it would be nice to grab somebody you could hug and... you know,
I feel safe either way. I just flew back from New York the other day,
right?
And I was in American Airlines, and they upgraded me to first. And these guys, you can see, there was a flight marshal sitting next to me, and one behind me.
You could recognize them.
Oh, I mean, you can pick them out like that.
Yeah.
And it's really stupid the way they do it. I was listening to Peter Greenberg the other day. He's right. He's like, you know, anyone can pick them out. If they're going to be, there's going to be a flight marshal, they should be dressed up as like a police officer, and they should sit in the flight attendant's jump seat facing the cabin. No, they should just be facing out so they can see what's coming at them.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of like sitting there reading a book or watching movies.
But that's what they do on. I was on Royal Jordanian flying to Jordan, and on those flights they had men on there that, you know, you figured that's what they were, but they sat in a flight attendant seat and they looked towards the rear. And they, you know, they weren't sitting in any seat reading books. They were pretty,
oh, no.
You know, they
that's
were watching.
LL Airlines does it, too, to Israel.
Johnny, we got to go. It's nice talking to you again. I guess you're off on another trip here pretty soon, or?
I am leaving, but
we can't
talk.
Available.
All right. I won't be out of the country for a few weeks.
Okay, well, if you're not back 2 weeks from now, we'll chat with you when you do return.
All right, great.
It's always a pleasure, and as I said, I had dinner with some friends of yours the other night, and it was it's always a wonderful evening with Carrie Marcy from Ocean Properties. We had dinner at the Longboat Hilton, which is a great property. They're a great group. They have great properties, and they're really nice people.
Yeah, they really are. I hope to get down there soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. Hope we see you next when you get down. When they're going to open up that new property, if they haven't already, down in the Keys. Technical problems like insurance and things like that, you know.
I bet.
In any event, my friend, good travels, and we'll be talking to you again. Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye for now. Johnny Jett, one of my favorites. We got to go. You're listening to Talking Travel, the voice of travel, live on Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. You can check out our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. And my guest next week will be Evan Eggers, travel journalist Stephanie Moreland, and Karen Hamlin. Until then, this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now and happy travels.
To Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.